All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, January 7th of 2026, and looking ahead here, we have six matches of soccer already underway. Good luck to all of you playing some soccer slates today. For the rest of the evening, we have a five-game NHL slate, nine-game NBA slate, and then we have 15 matches of tennis later this evening as well. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. We will jump into questions that came in prior to the show, and then we will see where we go from there. So, working top down here. First question, if I make a change in my lineup using late swap, how do I have that change affect all lineups, even if I only ran the late swap as a single lineup? Okay. Interesting question. It sounds like what is happening is this is my guess. I think what they're doing is, say they have a one lineup and three single entries. I think the question is, hey, I'm running a late swap for one contest. I want to take that lineup and also play it in my other single entries still, right? Basically, they're saying, how can I late swap one lineup that is in multiple contests and have it change all of them, right? So this is very simple to do. So what I would do is, when you go to late swap, you just need to change one thing. Is when you go to your templates here, what you're going to choose is, you're going to choose all contests in one group. Actually, before this, so when you open up your late swap modal, it's going to look like this. Keep all of your contests chosen, right? Every contest that this one lineup is in, you want to late swap all of them. So in this screen, right, I would select all the contests with the checkbox in the top left. It should be chosen automatically, but just make sure they're all chosen. And then when you open the late swap build here, like we're in a swap build, choose the all contests in one group template. The reason for that is that, see how we're on one group per contest right here at this like point in the video? The late swap option in late swap for one group per contest, it's going to give you a unique lineup for each entry, right? So this would be, if I have 83 entries, I get 83 lineups. Total lineups is the other option. This is what all contests in one group uses. Now, what total lineups does is it looks at, hey, how many lineups do you have before we swap? If you have one lineup and three single entries, SaberSim is going to say, hey, we have one lineup. And then when you use all contests in one group, that template is going to say, hey, we must still only have one lineup when we are all said and done. So all contests in one group will keep the number of lineups that you had before the swap. After the swap, if you played one single lineup in the three single entries, you're going to still play one lineup, and it's going to give you that lineup three times. So I think that's what this question is referring to. So all I would do is just in my late swap build, use the all contests in one group option. All right. Good question there. Let's get out of this tutorial. All right. Next question. General question. What are people's takes on entering 150 duplicate lineups in the same contest? I totally get there is risk for the person if the lineup doesn't pop. I also totally get that it's 100% legal and often a smart play in lower payout contests with thousands of entrants. But something about it just seems, I don't know, unpalatable. Single entry contests stop that from happening, but are limiting in other ways. What do you guys think? Is it standard practice for the experienced vets here? Something you do rarely, only if you're wildly confident about your lineup, mostly just curious. Thank you. Okay, good question. So we here at SaberSim effectively never recommend doing this. This is not a great thing to do. Someone kind of alluded to this in the comments, right? It's like, hey, if you are willing to play one lineup 150 times, say in a mini max, well, you might be better off just taking your one entry and playing a $75 single entry, right? That is effectively the same thing here as far as like total lineups and entry fees. We don't think this is a good idea, mostly for the fact that DFS is a very high variance game. Usually if you're not binking a contest, you are usually in a downswing. I'll just show you like what DFS bankroll simulations kind of look like. So these are, each line here is a different bankroll simulation. And so usually it's big spike, kind of downswing, and then until you hit your next big spike, right? All these like spike, down, up, down, up, down, right? Like if you're familiar with like other forms of gambling, sports betting, poker, you know, it's usually kind of more like mountainside, kind of slow and kind of steady track up with some ups and downs, but it's always kind of trending to the right, kind of trending up. DFS is very much not like that at all. And this just kind of shows like how high variance DFS is. The worst thing that you can do in a high variance sport is increase variance further, which would be playing one lineup, choosing to play one lineup instead of choosing to play 150 unique lineups. So basically, the more unique lineups you have, the better chance you have of surviving in the DFS ecosystem and maintaining slash sustaining your bankroll without going broke. So that is the primary reason that we recommend a unique lineup for each entry that you have. So I would continue to follow that framework. It sounds like this question arose from this user coming in behind a 150 max train, which always sucks. You know, unless you have a crystal ball, I would basically never do this. I've seen users, this is like super edge case, but I've seen high volume users do this. I think as a way of like, basically, I think that the DFS lobby is effectively limiting them from playing as much action as they can afford to play. So they increase variance and basically turn it into a higher dollar single entry. So that's just not going to apply to very many people, you know, myself included, but that's the only time I've ever seen something along these lines. So hopefully that helps. And I saw a bunch of users jumping in and giving some feedback. So I always appreciate good questions like this that kind of get a discussion started and the opinions that come with those from sharp users. All right, next question. What's up, Andrew? What is going on? Question, when building lineups, should I build my lineup pool of 5,000 or lower it? Lately, I've noticed that at times on other videos that you guys set it at 500. Just wondering what is the advantage with that? Or should I continue building 5,000 and complete my process from there? Thanks. Okay, good question. So if you guys ever see me lower the pool down to 500 or a low number, that is simply for the sake of time. We could sit here and let it run a full 5,000. I like to spend more time talking about the questions than kind of sitting here and just kind of waiting for the builds to finish. So that's why I lower it, just to speed things up. You should always build the maximum number of lineups that your pool allows based on the subscription that you are on. The reason for that is because the way we build lineups in sim mode specifically is we do not build your first lineup is your best and then your second is your second best. We randomly build all your lineups from using different game sims, put all of the lineups into your lineup pool, and then we grade them, right? Whether that is Saber score, whether that is ROI, doesn't matter. They all get graded after they get into the pool. So in an extreme example, your best lineup could be the last one that we generate. And for that reason, you want to generate as many lineups as you can. So always build the maximum. The only time I would probably caution against that is if you're in a time crunch. You know, if NBA lock is approaching and we got some late news and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to sit here and wait for all of my lineups to build, okay, you know, cut it in half, lower it, you know, do whatever you need to do to not miss lock, right? That is always super, super important. The other side of that is optimizer mode. For those using optimizer mode, does build your best lineup first, second best lineup second, third, fourth, etc. It builds it like top down there. Normally in optimizer mode, if I were to ever use optimizer mode, I would only build the number of lineups that I actually need. If I need 20 lineups, I am only going to build 20 lineups. There's not a reason to build more since I only want the best lineups, and optimizer mode is building them in that order. So that would be the only other thing to mention here, is that if you use optimizer mode, you can take a little bit different approach there. All right. Good stuff so far. We are caught up with questions here, so why don't we jump into a slate demo? So got the NBA slate for today pulled up. We're going to build 500 lineups for this slate. If you see your refresh projections icon lit up green, usually a good thing to click on that to get the latest and greatest projection updates on your Saber Sim, so you can use those for your build. So I'm going to make two small adjustments in the My Own column. Not going to change anything else. And I'm going to kick off this build. So while this build runs, it's a good opportunity to come over here and click this upload entries for the slate green up arrow icon. You can either use the hyperlink to download your entry file from DK and drag and drop it in here. That's probably the easiest way to do that. So while this runs, good opportunity to get your entry file loaded up. And then if you have a template starred, it will auto create your groups for you once these lineups are finished building. So that would, you would load this up, and then you would have some groups already created for you. If you don't have a template start, you can just go and select one. So I'm just going to create a group here. Say I'm playing a single 20 max. It will look something like this. Now, for the sake of the show here, I'm just going to use uniques and Saber score. There's actually a bug here where if you don't have an entry file uploaded, you can't always use portfolio mode. That bug is being fixed. Our team let me know about that, which is great. So we'll be able to use portfolio mode on SaberSim going forward. we'll be able to use Portfolio on these office hours where I don't have an entry file uploaded, which will be nice. But for now, we're just going to use Unique Swan, Saber Score. All right, cool. So we have our 20 lineups here. I like to come in. Question rolling in, favorite lineup tonight. This is always going to depend, right? It's always going to depend on what contest you're playing. One lineup might be good in one contest, but might not be so good in another contest, right? So I think that is a big advantage to, you know, uploading your entry file, especially if you're on Ultimate. We get to see exactly what contest you're playing. We get to run sims based on that contest's payout structure, the strength of the field in that contest, and the exact number of entrants, right? Otherwise, I would be so there's going to be, you know, one Saber Score, right, for all of your lineups. So in that case, I would just take the top Saber Score lineup. Billy said, give me your favorite lineup tonight, and if it cashes, I'll buy a membership. So this is actually a really good point along the lines of NBA. You should not build your NBA lineups this early in the day and then not change them, right? Because if we go into this table and we go to project and we just come in here, like there are multiple players here who are questionable. And if any one of them are ruled out, they drastically change the slate. We can come in here and just sort by questionables. This is probably like a good thing to do if you're trying to get familiar with the slate, trying to, you know, figure out, hey, what do I need to pay attention to? Coming into the status column, only selecting the questionable players, looking at this and figuring out, hey, you know, who do I need to keep my eye on tonight, right? These are some big names, and there is plenty of ownership to go along with them, right? 8%, 22%, 12%, 250-point projected players. Hey, if Cade Cunningham gets ruled out, like that is a lot of minutes. That is a lot of shots that are going to go to the rest of the players on his team. And then if we go and look at his team, these guys are all cheap. You know, we have 5,700 Asar Thompson. We have 4,200 Jaden Ivey, 4,100 Ron Holland, 4,000 Duncan Robinson. You know, imagine these guys soaking up Cade's usage, right? Like they're going to pop now. So you can't build this early in the day for NBA just because there's so much outstanding news. So I don't have an answer for you. I would, you know, check us out on a trial. We have $7 for 7 days of SaberSim. I would build your lineups. I would probably try and do a final run of lineups after all of the lineups for the games starting at slate start time are out. Like, hey, you know, wait for the 8 lineups to be announced for these 4 games and then run a final build, right? You're going to get status on these questionables for the early window. And then I think it's safe to finally do something. So get the news on Cade. Who else is at lock? SGA is later. Pelicans are half an hour later. Okongwu is later. Morant is later. Brandon Miller is at lock. Santi's later. Kobe White is at lock. A little less impactful. Lower ownership. Not like the most projected points. Herb Jones is later. So I would say biggest news to have before you start is Brandon Miller and Cade Cunningham. And then from there, right, is as far as like, hey, players that you should be targeting, some of the high value plays are probably the plays that you want to focus on. So you come over here to value and then you sort by this. These are players that are probably underpriced for the amount that they're going to play. So, like, for instance, we come in here, we sort by value. Hey, I see, you know, this Washington logo, you know, kind of popping, right? We see 1, 2, 3, 4 Washington players in the top seven values. Well, why is that, right? That's a good question. You know, we kind of want to know that information. So we go to Washington, and then I would scroll down and I would look at their out players, right? Hey, they have 6,500 CJ McCollum out. They have 6,400 Kyshawn George out, and they have 4,100 Chris Middleton out. You know, these are, for those not familiar, like McCollum and George are two of their top shooters, right? So all of a sudden these guys are both out. Well, who, this is what I was talking about with Cade, right? Like, this is an example of if Cade was ruled out, like, hey, these Washington guys are already out. Now these cheaper guys are all popping. 4,600 Champagne, 5,100 Koulibaly, 4,400 Carrington, 5,000 Trey Johnson, right? So if I had to say, hey, you know, you probably, if you want to do anything, I would target some of the value on Washington. Yeah, so I would definitely be targeting some Washington players. If I had to choose, I think you could play two of them. I think you could play three of them. And that should get you like a pretty solid starting point here. So that's what I'd be doing for NBA tonight. All right. Next question. When I'm positive flagship ROI and sim ROI, do I have to stay with the same strategy or do I have to explore other ones? Okay, good question. So this is kind of a situation I think that people run into when they go and they study flashback from yesterday. Like, hey, you know, I simmed really well, but I didn't win, right? Kind of what do I do in that scenario? So the whole kind of point of contest flashback is to give you a sense of, are you on the right track or should you rethink your strategy and rethink your process, right? I'm going to pull that bankroll chart back up. So this red line, the reason that it's highlighted is like my favorite example. So this user who we simped, this is a hypothetical user, where we said, hey, this user has a long-term 20% expected ROI. They are a good player. They win. And we expect them to make about 20% on average. So we simmed a 160-day MLB season where they were playing the $4.20 max every single day. So these are all of their different outcomes. You'll see that they have some seasons where they crush and do really good. They have other profitable seasons. They even have some losing seasons, which sucks, right? A player who is a long-term good player can lose in a season. This red line in particular is my favorite because this user was down on the year all the way up until about day 140, right? Now, you zoom out. You know, okay, you know, they were losing and then they got a win. But like imagine the day-to-day of losing for 140 days straight. That's about 5 months where this user is putting in the work every day. They're building their lineups and they just cannot get it right. And their sim ROI looks good. You know, they're doing everything right. Why aren't they winning, right? So frustrating. And then that one day finally comes, they get their score. When you look back on the season, hey, they won $5,000, pretty good year. But it probably felt terrible for a very long time. If you've ever been on like a long downswing, you'll know what I'm talking about. And, you know, you're just waiting for that ship to, you know, right itself. So I think that when your sim ROI is good, when your flashback metrics look good, your projected scores in line, you're using your salary, your lineups are well correlated, I think you're doing the right thing. I don't think you should deviate as far as like what a good sim ROI number is, because Gabriel's asking here, if I'm 30 to 40% ish, is that good? So sim ROI is going to vary contest to contest. Some contests your achievable sim ROIs are going to be a certain number. In other contests, they're going to be a different number. This varies by sport as well. Usually NFL has some of the highest achievable ROIs. You can see ROIs 80%, 90%, 100%. Sports like MLB are usually a little bit lower, 10%, 20%, 30%, right? So the contest you're going to play, use that as your measuring stick. When you go in to Flashback, so I'll show you guys the way I use Flashback. So say I go back to yesterday. And let's say I go to the and one. All right, so I go over to users. All right, so I don't just come in here and sort by sim ROI because it is easier to build one high sim ROI lineup than multiple. So what I do is I set the entries greater than or equal to whatever number of entries I entered. If I enter 10 lineups, hey, I set this greater than or equal to 10. I want to look at all the users who entered in that range, right? Hey, I want to look at the persons who entered the same, if not more lineups than me, okay? So first thing, setting your entries filter and then sorting by sim ROI. In the end one, looks what you should do at that point is use the highest sim ROI lineups as your measuring stick, right? If I'm in this contest and I have a 30 to 40% sim ROI, well, it's good that it's positive, but some of the highest numbers are kind of above 60, right? I want to be shooting for more like 50 to 60%. So I would feel there is some room for improvement. If I go to a different contest, maybe I'm playing the Minimax instead, right? And then maybe I go to the Minimax and the highest sim ROIs are not 80%. Maybe they're 50%. Well, if I'm 30 to 40, which is kind of what we see here, right? We'll just leave it. So at 10 or more entries, the highest sim ROIs are 50 and then 40 and then 30. I would say anything above 30 is like really good here. If you are 30 to 40%, hey, you're great in this contest, you know? So use the highest sim ROI of the users who have the same or more entries than you as your measuring stick, and then use it contest by contest and use it sport by sport. So not just like one good number across the board. Got to get a little bit more granular than that. All right. I think we are all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. A lot of good questions today. I will be back tomorrow, Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.